till it passes by. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5, an interesting passage. Now, if we look at verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. There is my title in there, as your Father, as your Father. Now, if we simply read verse 48, if that's all we read, we simply read verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We would expect, because of the way we think, we would expect the previous passage to be about some vile, wicked sin, right? I mean, it's talking about, okay, in other words, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father. So we would think that everything before that was about some wicked, vile sin. Usually for you and I, we would expect it to be something somebody else does. Amen, right? That way we could really get excited about it, even amen a little bit. But we would expect it to be about drunkenness or about being a drug addict or maybe someone who steals from other people, maybe about murder or adultery or idolatry, maybe homosexuality, abortion, immorality. I mean, the list is endless. We would come up with all these different things. And we would always, you know, okay, well, God says, bless God, you need to be perfect, you need to do right, even as your Father which is in heaven. But never would we think it's what it really is unless we read it. And of course, unless we know our Bibles. I mean, we would not expect it to be what it says in verse 44. I mean, we're supposed to be as our Father, as your Father. He's not drunken, he's not a drug addict. He's not a murderer. He's not. He's not an idolater. And the list goes on and on. And yes, amen. Be that way. But verse 44 is what it's all about. I say unto you, love your enemies. Oh, bless them that curse you. Oh, do good to them that hate you. No, preacher. There's got to be in the Greek. It's got to be something different. No, that's what it is. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you as your Father. As your Father. Father, I pray you bless the preaching this morning. Thank you for the beautiful music. Thank you for the Word of God that we can look at. And we would certainly not expect this to be about what it's about when it talks about our Father. And yet, it is what it talks about. And I pray you'll use it in our hearts and our lives. Possibly the greatest sin committed here this morning is the sin that we'll talk about this morning. So please help us to pay attention. Holy Spirit, do your work in our hearts and lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We can't just read verse 48 and just preach on that. We can't just pull that out of the context and come up with all kinds of things. Now, we certainly can mention all kinds of sins, but let's not mention all the other sins without going to the context of what he says in verse 44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And it all ties together as your Father. That's what he does. That's how he is. That's exactly, we know he's not drunken. We know he's not a murderer. We know he's not a thief. We understand all that. But those are the things we can amen about. We can get excited about. Boy, you know, this is really good. But then it goes to what it says in verse 44. But that's how he is. He's a forgiving God. He is a merciful God. Aren't you glad? I'm glad he is. As we read verse 44, and then we go on to verse 45. Look what it says. It says, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Well, that means to be like him. That means as he is. All right? Notice what he does. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. Do you understand this morning that the people that were drunken last night, who did all kinds of things, who knows, so many things perhaps were done in a drunken stupor or maybe high on drugs or whatever. Do you understand that when they woke up this morning, they saw the same sunrise that I saw? They saw the same sunrise that that person who prayed to God last night before they went to bed, read their Bible last night before they went to bed, they got to see the same sunrise. Isn't that something? But that's how our Father is. As your Father, He gave someone, imagine, who cursed Him last night, cursed Him Friday night, He let him see the sunrise. Beautiful, beautiful sunrise this morning. That's amazing to me. Are you getting it? You say, yeah, but I don't like it. I can tell because it's deathly silent in here. The same person. Now watch this. So somebody who criticizes God, somebody who maybe spends time going out and speaking against God, maybe somebody who teaches on evolution or teaches that abortion is right or whatever it may be, he criticizes God and criticizes the Word of God. Do you understand what it says here? It says that He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And that means that that person who blasphemes the name of Jesus Christ, God allows his crops to get rain. He allows his flowers to get rain. He lets that man see the sunrise just like he allows somebody who loves God. He lets him see the beautiful sunset just like he lets the person who loves him see the sun. It's the same one, same sunset, same rain on the crops. Same sunrise. Do you understand that God, as your Father, it says, as your Father, He blesses the evil and the good. He blesses the just and the unjust. That's our Father. That's how He is. Well, I'm going to get even with so-and-so. That's not how our Father is. Yeah, but you don't know what they did. That's not how our Father is. Here's how our Father is. Somebody curses him and he lets the sun rise for him. Somebody criticizes him and he lets him watch a beautiful sunset. As your Father, it says. Now, verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? In other words, there's some things that's expected. Somebody that loves me, I love them. That's expected. But he says this, he says, what reward have you? It's expected. Somebody's nice to you, you're nice to them. Somebody does good things for you, you're happy about that. You're nice to them. Somebody that is your brethren, that walks with you and does things with you, and they you see them in the store, and you, hey, how you doing there? Wonderful. That's expected. That's just common courtesy. It makes sense. But he said, there's no reward in that. That's not anything unusual. That's how it's supposed to be. How about when you see somebody at the aisle of the store and you duck, trying to avoid them? You don't understand, preacher. They hurt me. You don't understand. They did this to me. You don't understand. Years ago, they, as your Father, as your Father. Wow. You say, it's a Sunday night message. Why I quit coming on Sunday? No. And that's why I'm preaching it on a Sunday morning. As your Father. Wow. As your Father. Notice what it says here. It says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. It's talking about perfection. Perfection here is not talking about sinlessly perfect. It's talking about mature in Christ. And our maturity is not determined about whether we're drunken. It's not determined by whether we're not going to the movies. It's not determined about whether we're not going to the bar and getting drunk or alcohol. Here's what it's determined by here in this passage anyway. It's determined by our willingness to forgive. You know, I'd just soon you change the subject. There's no channel. We can't switch channels, all right? It's determined by our forgiveness. Don't we get it? You have to understand. I'm not talking about agreeing with anybody's sin. I'm not talking about compromising. You know, I'm totally opposed to that. God's opposed to that. But verse 44 is in the Bible. It is what it says. He says, love your enemies. I'm amazed how many times we just kind of, we want to pass over that. But it's the Word of God. By the way, it's even in red. Anyway, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Does anybody curse you? Yeah, I'll tell you what they... No, don't tell us what they said. Bless them. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute you. And then he goes and ties it all together and he says, as your Father. That's how he is. Wow. I'm not talking about agreeing with anyone's sin. I'm not talking about going out and drinking with them. I'm not talking about if they did you wrong and they sinned against you. I'm not talking about you doing that to some. I'm just saying my Bible says we are to love them. I don't care what they did. You said, preacher, if you knew, it doesn't matter. I don't have to know. Listen to me. I know what we did to Jesus on the cross. Are you listening? I know what we did. I know how we are. I understand what we did. I know we had a cat of nine tails that gave Jesus 39 lashes that ripped his skin from his body, and guards punched him and they nailed him to a cross. That's what I did. That's my sin. And yet as he hung, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. And God the Father, the Bible says here, as your Father, God the Father watched that. And he saw the spit of men running down the face of Jesus, his only begotten Son. Seriously, isn't it amazing to you that you're forgiven? It ought to amaze you this morning. I know sometimes we go to church long enough, we start thinking, you know, I deserve this. You deserve hell. Every one of us deserves that. And our Father looked down and watched his Son be beaten to a bloody pulp, who had never sinned, who only loved. And he watched his Son be beaten. There's nothing any more godly than forgiveness. You say, well, I don't drink liquor. Good. I don't commit adultery. Wonderful. I don't steal from people. That's good. But do you forgive? Well, preacher, I'd just soon you preach on those other things. I'll start amening if you would. That's why it's so quiet in here. Honestly. We'd just soon, you know, hey, talk about the homosexual crowd. Talk about abortion crowd. Talk about some of the things going on. This is what's going on right here. It's forgiving. That's what's going on. That may be the most dangerous thing that faces Berean Baptist Church is simply our willingness to be as the Father, as our Father, our Heavenly Father. We love Him. We say, God, we love You. We want to do what You want us to do. And that's why we don't go places we shouldn't go. We don't do things we shouldn't do. We don't curse. And we don't. But how's your heart toward the guy next to you? How's your heart toward the person across the pew? How's your heart toward that loved one, that relative? How's your heart toward that person that hurt you years ago? How's your heart toward those people that get on the phone and gossip about you? How's your heart toward those people that say things bad about you on the social media? How's your heart toward them? Because I got news for you. As much as forgiveness is godliness, I got news for you. Unforgiving spirit is godless. And bitterness is out of hell. You say, wow, I didn't really plan on this morning. But it's the Bible. As your Father. Notice, keep your place here, but go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. My Sunday school class has left the book of Revelation. We finished it. We are now in Ephesians. And probably in 3 years or so, we'll be at Ephesians 4. We almost got through verse 1 in 2 weeks. Ephesians 4 and verse 31, it says, let all bitterness. How much bitterness? All. You say, yeah, but I'm not bitter toward good sinners, but I'm... But my bitterness is toward those people that did me wrong years ago. My bitterness, you know, and it could be somebody who you know, as a child, you were taken advantage of. You say, I have a right. You know, you as a human being, you have a right to have been hurt. You have a right to, but you never have a right to be bitter. You say, you don't understand how bad it was, what they did. You don't understand. I was beaten. I was hurt. I was abused as a child. I was abused as a wife. I was abused in this situation. You don't understand. They did me wrong. And yet, I do understand Jesus hanging on a cross and my Bible saying, as your Father. That's how we're supposed to forgive. Let all bitterness, doesn't matter what it is, it's all bitterness. You say, yeah, but you didn't have to work for that guy. It doesn't matter. All bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Whoa, evil speaking. I pity the person's going to answer for their tongue. I'm serious about that. Evil speaking. The Bible over and over and over talks about, well, I don't like this and I don't like that. Listen to me. Well, you know, let it be put away from you with all malice. It says, be put away, get rid of it. As your Father. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Watch what it says. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. And then those two words. You ought to have them circled, underlined, or something in your Bible. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The comparison, forgive them as he forgave you. Amen. Forgive them. Yeah, but they did me wrong. And I did him wrong. Amen. That's good. I'm gonna have to, if I had the energy, I'd go down there and amen myself. I don't have the energy. I might not get back up. But even as is so important because it's just what we're preaching on in Matthew 5. He just, again, it's reiterated in Ephesians, as your Father. That's what he did. The fact that he forgave me. The fact that he forgives you. The fact that he forgives us and the filthy, wicked junk, not only that we did, but we still do. And he still forgives. And in heaven, when we get to our mansion and we're walking down the streets of gold and enjoying all that he has, you're still forgiven. Praise God's name. Come on. Amen. You say, yeah, but I just can't. Yes, you can. If he tells you to. Ephesians 4 is not a recommendation. It's a let all. It's a do this. It's a command. Just like it's commanded to tithe. Just like it's commanded to be in church. To assemble together. It's a command. Let all get rid of it. Honestly, this morning, folks ought to be on this altar getting rid of bitterness, saying, God, forgive my bitter, unforgiving heart and spirit and tongue. That's what ought to happen. You say, do you know something about it? I just know my Bible. And I know that it is destroying people. It's destroying homes. It's destroying churches. It's destroying our country. If we cannot, you know, but we're not drinking. We're not doing drugs. We're not committing adultery. But if we're not forgiving, amen, then we're guilty. Right. And we forgive as our Father. Let me give you four examples and I'll be done. Number one is Job. Amazing story, Job. And I love it. I use it often. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 donkeys, and 500 yoke of oxen. And that is a successful farmer. And he's doing great. And he's got money, and he's doing well. And he had 10 very healthy children. And he's doing great, and he loves God. And he goes to church, and he sings. And he goes to church, and he praises the Lord. And he puts his tithe in the plate. And he goes on the bus route. I'm sorry, the chariot route. And he serves God. And he helps out at the fair. He's in the soul winning tent. And he serves God. Amen. And he's doing great. And he's doing so well that God says to the devil, when the devil came to him to accuse other people, God says, consider my servant Job. Look at that guy. He's doing well. And you know what the devil said? The devil says, you protect him. You're protecting him. If you wouldn't protect him, he'd curse you. And God said, you know what? You can go ahead and do what you will. Now, I know we don't like that. I understand. We want to just say, you know, boy, this is just unfair and this isn't right. My valley's too deep. It's never too deep. God allowed it to happen in your life because He knows you can have victory in that valley. He knows you can. And that's what Job was in. He was in a valley because soon he lost his 7,000 sheep, his 3,000 camels, his 500 donkeys, and his 500 yoke of oxen. And then a tornado came, and he lost his 10 children. And then he started scratching a boil on his arm, and then the boil spread to his whole arm and his other arm and his whole body. And soon he is full of sores that oozed with pus. And the pain from those sores, he'd scratch them just to try to get some kind of relief from that pain. And all of a sudden, God had allowed the devil to inflict all these things on Job. But I want to remind you, God did allow it. And his wife said to him, Job, this is so bad. I mean, she's hurting too. You know, the 10 little cemetery plots that had to be bought for the children, his wife had to go and bury each of them too. And she said, curse God! Just curse God and die! You know, I thank God for the many trials that I've been in and the many things that have gone on in my life and valleys that I've gone through and hard times and all those kinds of things. But I can tell you this, in all those things, I have never had my wife turn on me or turn on God. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And so Job goes down to the garbage dump because that's how he feels. He's lost it all, everything, his health, his children, his wealth, everything's gone. And he goes to the garbage dump and he sits and he scrapes those sores, those nasty, pussy, oozing sores. And his three friends come. Oh, others come, but especially the Bible makes it clear to us these are three friends. Now, I would say Job was a friend to them. I'm not sure they were friends to him because they came and they started to accuse him. I don't know of anything worse than that, folks, to be honest with you. You know what? If you're a friend and all you can do is accuse, how about this? How about just putting your arm around your friend and saying, you know what? I don't know why you're going through what you're going through, but I love you and I'm praying for you. You say, well, if I put my arm around him, I might get some of the pus on my hand. You know what? If you're really a friend, it wouldn't bother you so much. It wouldn't bother you so much if you're just really a friend. But instead, they got around there, and they were so shocked at what they saw. This man was a wealthy man. This man was a leader in the town. This man was a leader in the church. And now this man is in a garbage dump. His wife has said, curse God and die. His body is full of sores, and the pus is oozing out. And they're so shocked they can't even talk at first. But while they're thinking and looking at him, they start to decide why it's like this. Wait, we know why it's like that. Because Job was upright. Because Job was right with God. We know that's why. They started to tell him all kinds of other things. Job, it's your fault. Job, this is all your fault. You need to get whatever your sin. What's your sin, Job? You've been on the internet looking at pornography? What's your sin, Job? What's your problem, Job? You've been reading the wrong things? Job, you've been hanging around the wrong people? Job, you've been drinking? You got a bottle of whiskey? You got some beer in your refrigerator? Hey, Job, what is your sin? And Job can hardly stand it. Job can hardly stand it. I hope you're not like that. I would hope you wouldn't call yourself a friend. That sounds like something an enemy would do. And they accused him. But you know what? Later on, you know the story. God doubles everything. He goes from 7,000 sheep to 14,000, from 3,000 camels to 6,000, from 500 donkeys to 1,000, amen, from 500 yoke of oxen to 1,000, and from 10 healthy children to 10 healthy children, because he had 10 in heaven and then 10 on earth. So God doubled that too. Huh? Isn't that something? By the way, when he went to from 10 healthy children in heaven to 10 on earth, I want to remind you, Mrs. Job paid for her words by being pregnant 10 more times. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Now, why was Job blessed? Why did God double everything that Job had? Why did God do that? Was it because God finally just said, you know what, Job, you've had enough. You've had enough, and you know, I'm gonna bless you now. Or was it because there was some sort of a turning point there that the devil just gave up or something like that? Or was it because of Job's good spirit? You know, the Bible says that Job did not Job sin with his lips. He never sinned. He never griped. He never complained. Can you imagine going through all of that and the Bible says he didn't sin with his lips? He never complained about any of it to God. That's amazing to think about. You know, there's some people, you ask them, how you doing? And then you walk away because you know you're going to hear it. And you're going to end up depressed, right? I mean, what was it because he didn't sin with his lips? Was it because of his great faith? You know, in the midst of all that, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I mean, that's amazing. Maybe do you think maybe God just saw that? And what was it that brought his health back to perfect and doubled all of his wealth and gave him his kids back? What was it? Look at it, Job 42. The Bible says what it is. Job chapter 42. And verse 10. And it's exactly what I'm preaching on. Job 42 and verse 10. After all of that, Job 42:10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. That gets my attention. What is it? Why? When he prayed for his friends. What? Come on. Yeah. When he prayed for his friends. Isn't that amazing? I remember Dr. Tom Williams gave me that verse at a time of crisis in my life, and it literally changed my life. Job had said in the process of all that, he said as these people attacked him, he said, you weary me. You're wearing me down. You're wearing me out. He said about them, he said, you're miserable comforters. Why? Because they weren't comforting at all. They were attacking him. He said about them, he said, they are physicians of no value. They're not helping. They came to help and they're the opposite of help. They're hurting me. And his heart was broken. He received no comfort. He received no encouragement. Instead, he was accused as they tried to figure out what was going on. You people that have to figure everything out, why don't you just love people? I mean, they heaped coals of fire on him and on his life. But notice, still in Job, then he saw the Lord. Verse 42, or chapter 42, verse 5, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. I'm going to tell you, your life has changed when you see the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 6, wherefore, once he saw the Lord, he said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When he saw the Lord, he saw himself. And when you see the Lord, you see yourself. And when you see what you are, you won't dwell on the sins of everybody else. Yeah, I know, you're not going to amen that. If I was preaching about homosexuality, you'd amen. If I was preaching about Islam, you'd amen. If I was preaching about abortion, you'd amen. But we just don't like this kind of preaching. Huh? When we see the Lord and we know what we are, I don't see everybody else so much. When I got to deal with me and the filth of me, I tend to not notice the filth of everybody else so much. And I tend to not notice what everybody else has said about me. And you will too when you see him. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. No critical person is walking with God. When you're criticizing other people, you're not walking with God. Because when you see him, you get your eyes on him, you'll be focused on this. And you won't notice everything else. Wow, they did this, they did that. Forget it. And the Bible says the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You're watching Facebook to see people's lives fall apart. I don't know how you're a Christian. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't get anybody wanting bad to happen to anybody. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. I see that guy that did this 20 years ago to me. I see he finally got his. Hey, if you would look at God, you'd understand. Hallelujah! I didn't get mine. That's what you'd get excited about. That's what Job got excited about. He saw the Lord and he saw himself and he said, I'm abhorred of what I am. And he forgot about Elihu and he forgot about Bildad and he forgot about what they had said about him. In fact, he probably thought, you know what? They were pretty close to telling the truth. Because compared to God, I am a worm. And when he prayed for his friends, God said, oh, here's your donkeys and here's your sheep. And by the way, Mrs. Job's pregnant. Amen. Amen. Another example is Abraham. The Bible says in James he was a friend of God. Why? There's a lot of reasons why, but the key thing was he believed God, he trusted God, and when there was a key conflict in the life of Abraham, remember how he took Lot with him, his nephew? You know, and Lot got in Egypt. By the way, when you put your kids in Egypt, they're going to love Egypt. Just go ahead and keep putting them in Egypt. Because one of these days you're going to say, okay, kids, we need to get rid of Egypt. And they'll leave Egypt, but Egypt won't leave them. Oh, you listen, you call the preacher old-fashioned and just say, you know, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you this. Old Abraham, he wanted to help Lot, but when he put Egypt in the heart of Lot, he had all kinds of problems. Well, you know, Abraham believed God. And when the conflict, he trusted the Lord. And when there was a conflict with Lot over the land and the water, don't you love it? I love the story. And Abraham says to Lot, he said, okay, you can have this land over here, but the best land was there. And Lot said, I want that land. And Abraham said, you can have it. And Lot was, he was wicked. But Abraham refused to fight with Lot. You see, I just want to fight everybody. You're nuts. You know, people, some of you are fighting with relatives. You've been fighting for years and you don't even remember what it's about. Do you know how foolish that is? Oh, you'd be amazed. So many times I watch people come to a casket and they look in there and they start saying things. Say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I think, you don't get it. They can't hear you now. Why didn't you say I'm sorry while they still could hear? I don't understand. It doesn't make sense to me. You got problems with an uncle. You got problems with an aunt. You got problems with a grandpa. You got problems with somebody years ago, a neighbor, somebody in church or whatever it might be. Hey, listen to me. Abraham was called a friend of God because he refused to fight with Lot. That doesn't mean he compromised. That doesn't mean he quit believing what he believed. Doesn't mean he quit standing for what he stood for. He just said, you know what? I'm willing to suffer. I'll take the lesser land. Now, what's that mean? He trusted God. Do you know God can take lesser land and make it better than better land? God always does, and he can. Amen. I mean, Abraham, you know, Abraham could have, well, I've already given him this. I took care of him. I did all these things, and now he wants the best land. And Abraham said, I'm not going to fight with you, Lot. You take the best land. And he forgave him. How did he forgive him? He just trusted God. That's all. Yeah, but so-and-so did me wrong. Just trust God. You're all right. My wife, we were talking the other day. We no way we could calculate how much money we've lost over the years. You know, preacher, could I borrow? 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 It's happened over the years. Who knows? I mean, things, money, all that kind of stuff. But you know, we were talking, and I said, you know, but we're doing okay. We got food. We actually do. Our cabinets, we have lots of food, even salad. Glory to God. But I'm just, You know, God's so good. Amen. And you think about it, you think, yeah, but so-and-so, I just can't get over it. You can get over it. You got to get on an altar and get over it and confess it as sin is what you have to do, because that's how the Father does. Even as your Father, you forgive. Amen. I don't know of any sin that destroys more people, churches, and homes. I don't know of any sin that leaves more scars than unforgiveness and bitterness. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. 1 John 4, verse 20. Yeah, but that isn't what it means. No, listen to me. If a man say, I love God. If I say to I love God, but I hate Tim Cook, God says, I am a liar. That is a lie. Who's the father of lies? Satan. I know there'd be amens if I said, alcohol, if I said abortion, if I said stealing, right. I know. But if I hate him and say I love him, that's a lie. It's not true. Why? Two don't go together. You do not love God if you hate your brother. And you can pass it off and say, well, they're not saved, obviously. No, phooey on your playing games. Amen. And then we have David, Job, and Abraham, and David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. I've preached on this many years ago, and I believe it's because of his willingness to forgive. That was one of the big reasons that David was a man after God's. What is God's heart? As your father, it's to forgive. And David, it's amazing. Saul, and I'm reading this in my devotions right now. Saul is after David, and he's trying to kill him, and Saul's jealous. Read, start the scripture. I've never preached on this, but Saul eyed David. He started watching him, and he became so jealous. Why? Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his tens of thousands. And Saul's heart became jealous and angry and envious. And Saul is trying to kill David. He's so jealous. Jealousy, envy, covetousness, it will destroy you. And Saul chases David out of his city, away from the people he loves, away from the area that he loved, and chased him out of there. And two times, David was alone with Saul and could have killed him. Two times. In fact, the people around David said, kill him. Here's your chance. This is your chance, David. And here's what David, he said, I can't do that. That's the Lord's anointed. I can't do that. And he forgave him. And here's what he said. He says, I'm going to let God take care of it. I'm going to let God take care of it. Not bitter, not unforgiving. In fact, he honored Saul by taking care of Saul's family after Saul died. Are you listening to me? Could you do that to somebody who's trying to kill you? That's God's own heart. He didn't talk bad about him. He wasn't critical. He wasn't vengeful. He didn't peck at him, or like I preached last Sunday night, peck at him like everybody pecks at the speckled bird. He didn't say, I'll show them. No, he didn't do that. He just let God take care of it. And God's able to take care of it. David wept when Saul was killed. Are you listening? Well, if old so-and-so just die, that's not God. That is not God speaking. Job, Abraham, David. My last example, of course, is Jacob. Jacob's name means trickster. God changed his name to Prince, to Israel, which means prince. You know the story. Jacob had stolen Esau's birthright. He stole his blessing. His mother, Rebekah, said, Esau's going to kill you. You better get out of here. And Jacob took off. I mean, you know, and obviously he was terrified. And he was gone for over 20 years. And I guarantee in his heart he was angry about that. Why should I leave? Why should I have to go? And one day it becomes clear he's going to have to go face Esau. And the Bible says that by the brook Jabbok, he wrestled with God all night long. What do you suppose that was all about? How can I forgive Esau? How can I face Esau? How can I go on? How can I do this? How can I face the one that I wronged and now he's wronged me back? How can I? Do you avoid people? It amazes me sometimes. I'll see somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And watch them turn away like that. And I think, you know what? That's sad that that's in your heart. And it breaks my heart that it's in their heart. You ought to be able to face anybody, anytime, anywhere. But if in your heart there's bad feelings and bitterness and hatred, that doesn't mean you necessarily like what they do. It doesn't mean you agree with what people do. It's just you ought to have your heart right. And he wrestled with God, Jacob did, all night long. And part of it, he had to get his heart right with Esau, his brother, and face him. Amen. And God said, "Your name is now Israel, a prince." You know, if I was preaching about alcohol, if I was preaching about cussing, if I was preaching about homosexuality, we'd have people amening. If I was preaching about abortion, folks, "Oh, amen, preacher, that's right." But I'm going to tell you this, more lives are ruined by what I'm preaching on than all those things put together. I mean that with all my heart. There's more lives among especially this crowd that are ruined by unforgiveness. And some of you are going to go to your grave bitter at somebody because you just wouldn't let go. Look at him. See yourself. And let go of that bitterness and that unforgiving spirit. See the Lord. Abhor yourself. Pray for your enemies, your perceived enemies, those who wronged you, and you do it as your Father did it. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.